WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Negotiators are reporting progress ahead of the possible release of Israeli hostages. CBS's Holly Williams talked to Hamas officials in Qatar.
Musa Abu Mazouk told us he's not sure where all of the hostages are located, and some, he claims, have been killed in the bombardment by Israel's military.
Maybe around 60.
Donald Trump's attorneys faced off against federal prosecutors today over a gag order that could restrict what he says during his January 6th trial. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
What they're arguing is that the gag order chills the former president's speech, in part because he's not just the former president, he's a current candidate for the presidency again.
The creator of ChatGPT's got a new job, CBS's Jolene Kent.
Just this morning, Microsoft, the biggest investor in OpenAI, has now hired Sam Altman for their own AI research team. This chaotic shakeup having a seismic impact on the future of artificial intelligence.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand the tax credit parents use to pay for childcare. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed $1 billion boost to workforce programs and child care. Tomorrow, the Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel on Upfront on WISN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Credit Union says an ATM was robbed at a Menominee East office. According to a press release from Wisconsin Credit Union, the ATM located at Wisconsin Credit Union's Menominee East office was robbed around 1 a.m. on Monday. The credit union also announced the incident is under investigation and the security of all member accounts was maintained as there's no personal data stored on the machines. The Wisconsin Credit Union location remains open following the theft. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has approved pay increases for state patrol troopers and inspectors and employees in the Building Trades Crafts Collective Bargaining Unit. In signing the pay increases, Governor Evers also noted that he has already approved pay raises for roughly 35,000 University of Wisconsin employees, but those pay raises are still being held up by the Republican-controlled state legislature. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has withheld the raises in an effort to oppose DEI programs at the universities. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks and the Wizards tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks travel east to play the Washington Wizards tonight at the Capital One Arena. The Bucks put away the Mavericks Saturday night, 132-125. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers keep their bowl game dreams alive after an overtime thriller, 24-17 against Nebraska. Wisconsin faces Minnesota in the Twin Cities Saturday afternoon. NFL, the Packers with a 23-20 victory over the Chargers in a hard-fought game. Both Packers running backs Aaron Jones and Emmanuel Wilson going down to injuries. And it's a short week. Green Bay plays the Lions Thursday in an NFL Classic game on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, we got a really quick turnaround, so we'll take the day to enjoy it, but yeah, this is going to be a tight turnaround for this week, seeing the Lions. So it's definitely a week that we got to just focus on getting our bodies back and studying up on the Lions again.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
cloudy and colder today. We'll get to around 45 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy, 31. Tomorrow, a little more sunshine, high of 42 on Wednesday, 44. Thanksgiving Day, partly cloudy with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. The UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made over this long weekend, but I'll tell you what, front and center, as always, is what is happening in Congress with the budget, with the continuing resolution, and what are the prospects. Remember last week that a bunch of hotheads in the Freedom Caucus refused to vote for what's called the rule vote. Let me just go over that one again real quick. In the Congress, there are two votes required on anything, on almost anything. The one vote is on the substance of the bill. But there's another vote called a rule vote where everybody has to say, okay, now let's talk about the bill and vote on it. The rule vote is almost always, up until now, up until last week, it almost always passes because the majority party supports their speaker who has permitted the legislation to go to the floor. So it's a no-brainer. Okay, a rule vote. How do you vote? Aye. Why not? It's going to be voted on. You can vote against it. You can vote to amend it. But 19 of these people in the Freedom Caucus who are simply making the life work of sticking a knife in the United States and American interests, voted against it, so it couldn't even be presented. Mike Johnson, the speaker, sent them home a day early. They're all off now, back in their districts, campaigning, vacationing. They'll be back in after Thanksgiving weekend. But when they come back in, remember something. Four of the 12 appropriation bills are only extended in terms of funding until January 19. The other eight of the 12 appropriation bills that are needed to keep the government running are only extended in a continuing resolution to February 2nd. Then you have Christmas in there. I mean, you have the holidays, you have everything. So let's see a little glimpse of what the Freedom Caucus is up to, what the best intelligence out of Washington is right now, what I think should be done. Well, here's what the House Freedom Caucus says. And these are really hardcore. There's 19 of them. There are actually many more who are in the Freedom Caucus, but when push comes to shove, the others try not to betray the United States occasionally, but these people do. Here's what one of them said. And it was Ralph Norman, right-wing nut from South Carolina. And they asked him, what are the prospects? Here's what he said, quote, if Mike Johnson does not go through with cutting spending, we're going to get cuts either way. we're going to start taking rules down. By that, he means voting against the rule votes. You can't even take anything up on the floor. We're not going to keep going like this. We're just not doing it, whatever it takes. I want to say that again. This is Ralph Norman, one of the right-wing nuts in the Freedom Caucus. Quote, if Mike Johnson doesn't cut spending, if that's not the case, we're going to get cuts either way. We're going to start taking rules down. We're not going to keep going like this. We're just not doing it, whatever it takes. Now, here is the best information out of Washington. And the real fight is everybody knows that in addition to these, the defense bill and this bill and that bill, it's essential to vote aid for Israel, Ukraine, and the Republicans are adamant about changing border policy, and they're going to link it at least to the Ukraine vote. So the best thinking by moderates in both parties is that this bill should originate in the Senate. That's because the Senate is pretty evenly split. The Democrats have a slight majority, but they have been able in the past to work in tandem in a bipartisan way, at least on spending and on budget matters, assuming they tee this up correctly. You can't have one guy shut it down like Tommy Tuberville. You can't have a filibuster because it only requires a simple majority. That's what's so different about that from everything else. So the idea is that Mitch McConnell, who's shown himself to be somewhat moderate, Chuck Schumer, some of the more moderate people on both sides, come up with a bill for the amount of money that they will tolerate for Israel, Ukraine, and the border. But the Republicans are insisting that they want more than money for the border. They want more than just hiring more border agents. They want some change, some reform to immigration policy in the first place. So what's liable to happen is you'll see either a clean Israel bill and a Ukraine slash border bill, or an Israel slash Ukraine slash border bill. And that will be teed up for the House. Now in the House, I think we have apparently 19 people who won't vote for anything. They won't vote for aid for Ukraine. They won't vote aid for Israel. They will not vote for any amount that at all reflects the deal that Biden and McCarthy made in May that was adopted by both parties. It's in legislation, by the way. That says if they can't agree on a budget, here's what the spending is going to be for the rest of fiscal 24. And it ain't great. It ain't perfect. They're not going to get an inflation increase in anything. Biden didn't like that. But they're not going to get these drastic cuts. Well, what the Republican Party minority, Freedom Caucus, the 19, who voted down the rules vote, say is we want to bust that. We don't want to follow it. We want a 10 or 15% cut against everything except defense. Everything except defense. Now, the Senate won't tolerate that. There is a Democratic majority, although it's kind of small, one vote. Biden's not going to tolerate it. And the Republicans in the Senate know that. And so does Mike Johnson. Now, here is what I hope he does, what he may do. He really surprised me last time. He talked the right-wing game right up to the end, and then he caved, and he got 200 and some odd votes from the Democrats, 150 from the Republicans, and pushed it through. The CR up until, remember, the CR was going to end, continuing resolution on Friday, pushed it into January and February. And I tell you something, he did not get those 200 some odd Democratic votes by accident. He obviously had to talk to somebody. They had to obviously agree. What I'm expecting and hoping is that he agrees to that this time as well. But what happened with Ralph Norman over the weekend saying what he did, that puts a different cast on it. It tells Mike Johnson that he has no honeymoon left at all, and that the people in the Freedom Caucus are going to be out for his scalp. I don't think they'll be stupid enough to bring another "the chair is vacant" routine and make a revote on Speaker. I don't think they'll do that, but they will vote, and they'll vote against a rules vote on Ukraine, Israel, and any border spending unless it's cut. I think that Mike Johnson will do what I'm about to suggest, and I hope he does. He played their game up to a point last time, and at the last minute, he pulled the rug out from under him. And he went to the Democrats, and he got himself a bunch of votes. This time around, I suspect that initially, he'll propose spending bills with a 10 or 15% cut. Maybe stupid spending bills with a poison pill like he did before with Israel aid that required also cutting the IRS. He may do all that. But as we get closer to January, holidays will come and go. Christmas will come and go. January 19 is going to come up pretty quick. Somewhere in the first or second week in January, he'll suddenly introduce a bill without poison pills that upholds what McCarthy and Biden agreed to. And he'll get another 200 Democratic votes. He'll get another 150 Republican votes. And let me tell you the consequence of 150. It's a bigger deal than you think. Under the Hastert rule, which they follow, the Speaker is not supposed to put anything on the floor that doesn't have a majority of the Republican caucus. Well, the Republican caucus is 221. 150 is a lot more than half. The only thing that constrains him is that the clowns in his party declare the chair vacant and want to vote again. So this leads up to the second thing I want to say, and I hope that Hakeem Jeffries does this in the Democrats. Not only do they have to promise him 200 Democratic votes on all those matters I just talked about, Ukraine, Israel, the border, etc., but they also have to promise him, in my view, that if Matt Gaetz or any one of these characters, Ralph Norman, declares the chair vacant, which he can with one person asking because of the deal that McCarthy made, it's imperative that Hakeem Jeffries tell him quietly, "We will get you the Democratic votes you need to stay in the chairmanship as long as you keep governing like this, as we can reach an accommodation." And I think he will. And they would have done that with McCarthy, but frankly, McCarthy wasn't seen as trustworthy. Not only did he badmouth Democrats that last weekend, but McCarthy, you couldn't tell if he would do another joint vote, bipartisan vote in the future. You assume he would, but you didn't know. You didn't know with this guy. I think with Mike Johnson, he's a lot smoother than McCarthy. He's a lot smarter than McCarthy. I don't agree with him. I passionately disagree with him on so many issues, especially his desire really to blur any distinction between church and state. But right now it's reality time. We need a budget. And by doing it this way, we're just jamming up very, very large $1 billion interest enhancements. Okay, coming up. What's coming up? I'll tell you what's coming up. Neo-Nazis in Madison? What's that all about?
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was a disgusting display in Madison, right on State Street, right about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday over the weekend. About two dozen neo-Nazis, they marched. They marched with swastikas on and the whole schmear. They marched along State Street in Madison towards the state capitol, chanting anti-Israel slogans, anti-Semitic slogans. They ended up gathering in front of a synagogue, and it was an historic building. It isn't currently used for church, for religious purposes, apparently. They wore red shirts, identifying themselves as members of the Blood Tribe, the Nazi movement. I'd never heard of the Blood Tribe. These guys are disgusting, and they're also weirder than hell. Blood Tribe, what's the Blood Tribe? It's a white supremacist group. Tommy Tuberville would be pleased with it. Steve Scalise will probably want to speak to it. It's a white supremacist group, to quote, whose objective is to, quote, normalize the swastika and build a white ethno state. They also shouted racial slurs at onlookers. And they also shouted, quote, there will be blood, end quote. Now, what do you do with this? Back a long time ago, the Nazis tried to march through Skokie, Illinois. The town tried to set it down. The court said, under the First Amendment, they can. I believe that that's true up to a point, but I think we've gotten a little carried away with that, especially when they advocate violence and they create this kind of a disturbance, shouting ethnic slurs at passersby and so forth. One of the things that struck me about this was that there are other protests in which the protesters carry swastikas, shout anti-Semitic and anti-Israel slogans. They're people marching in support of Hamas. Swastikas, Iran, for instance, Iran has a Holocaust, you know, there's a Holocaust Remembrance Day. Iran has a Holocaust celebrated day, make fun of it day, with anti-Semitic political cartoons, jokes, and everybody laughing. That's Iran. Iran is a center of evil in the Middle East. And what finally occurred to me is these neo-Nazis in Madison, when we talk about neo-Nazi, they're European Nazis. But ISIS, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, these are simply Asian and African Nazis. What Hamas did on October 7 were Nazi tortures. And when I see neo-Nazis marching in Madison, Wisconsin, you know, I spent three happy years at the UW Law School, living in Madison. I lived on Regent Street for a while. I lived almost on the corner of Brearley and Williamson, walk in every day with a knapsack full of law books. The idea that you would see Nazis marching on State Street with swastikas on, shouting anti-Semitic slogans, racial slurs to the crowd. And then in addition to that, there will be blood. That's a direct threat. But it also never occurred to me that I would ever see people marching in New York down to the Israeli embassy with swastikas, making fun of the torture of October 7th. There are some sick people in this country, and I believe in the First Amendment, and I believe they should be able to march. They should be required to get permits. If they don't get permits, they should not be permitted to march. But if they get permits, and there's a system of crowd control, that's a different story. As angry as I feel at seeing it, but what you have here is, in past parades, Nazis have beaten people up. In one of these Hamas parades, these anti-Israel parades in Thousand Oaks, California, a Jewish counter-protester was killed. There's homicide charges against the guy who did it. In Tulane University, that area, a Jewish protester had his nose broken. Washington, D.C., a protester punched a female officer in the face and threw her against a wall. All I'll say is the First Amendment permits these parades, but we've got to do a lot better job on permitting them and absolutely having a zero tolerance for violence. Go to the lines. Bill of Econowalk, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Well, the Nazis, what you're just talking about in Madison, do you ever consider that maybe they were paid to do that? And here's where I'm coming from. There's
What's that
many
about?
Countries. Well, there's many countries that it's advantageous for them to create disruption in this country. And nothing creates disruption in this country better than Nazis marching in some city. It just creates havoc. I just wonder if they're all doing it on their own, if they're doing it because they actually get paid to do it. One other point I'd like to touch on. Earl Ingram talked about Rosalind passing away. Rosalind and Jimmy were two of the biggest Christians, if not the best, that we ever had in this country. Whether you liked him or not, he showed leadership, he showed honesty, he showed integrity, something we lack. I was blessed enough back in the 60s to meet Dwight Eisenhower, another man that set the bar real high. We got to start remembering those people. That's what America's about. Not these clowns that we have now. I can't believe our country tolerates somebody with 91 felonies to even run for office. To me, I can't wrap my head around it. It doesn't even make sense. What do we want next? What, do you want to go to prison to hire Republicans to run for office? What's next? But anyhow, I just wanted to touch on that. And thanks, Matt, for giving us the voice we have. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. And yeah, I want to give a shout out to Rosalind Carter. That is on the agenda, and I'll say it now. I met her twice, once in 1978 when she was campaigning with her husband for congressional candidates in Wisconsin, and once in 1981. Just before Ronald Reagan was sworn in, they held a holiday party at the White House, and Democrats from around the country were invited. And I have seldom met a more gracious, lovely, and wonderful woman. She was a real steel magnolia. She had a lot of gumption. She stood by Jimmy in everything. She was tough as nails, but she was gentle and sweet. And I can't say enough good things about Rosalind Carter. I was very, very sorry to see her pass. Coming up, news, weather, and what's this? Liz Cheney and Mike Lee get into it, and Liz Cheney takes him down.
Anyone knows what's on tap. It's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The athletic director at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville has died. The university did not provide details this morning, only that Christina Navarro-Krupka was pregnant and her death was unexpected. Navarro-Krupka grew up in Madison and was in her fourth year as director of athletics and an assistant chancellor at Platteville. The Wisconsin Supreme Court tomorrow hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous maps are unconstitutional.
If you were simply to take the islands and put them in the districts that surround them, it would eliminate the contiguity problem and you wouldn't have any population problems in the existing map.
Berg on Upfront on WISN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A settlement was reached in a lawsuit filed by the family of one of the Girl Scouts hurt in a hit-and-run crash in Lake Haley in 2018. The driver of the car, Colton Tro, crashed into a Girl Scout troop on November 3, 2018, killing four people and injuring Madeline Zweifelhofer, whose family filed the lawsuit in 2021. Tro was sentenced to 54 years in prison. Zweifelhofer's family argued that Madeline had permanent injuries from the crash and filed the lawsuit against Tro for medical expenses and lost wages. The Badger Care public option bill will be reintroduced in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Officials say the bill would expand eligibility beyond traditional Medicaid expansion and allow residents to get out of poverty without having to lose their Badger Care insurance. State Senator Jeff Smith believes the comprehensive health reform bill would bring billions of dollars into the state, but isn't optimistic the bill will advance in the Republicans-controlled state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's the Bucks and the Wizards tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks travel east to play the Washington Wizards tonight at the Capital One Arena. The Bucks put away the Mavericks Saturday night, 132-125. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers keep their bowl game dreams alive after an overtime thriller, 24-17 against Nebraska. Wisconsin faces Minnesota in the Twin Cities Saturday afternoon. NFL, the Packers with a 23-20 victory over the Chargers in a hard-fought game. Both Packers running backs Aaron Jones and Emmanuel Wilson going down to injuries. And it's a short week. Green Bay plays the Lions Thursday in an NFL Classic game on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, we got a really quick turnaround, so we'll take the day to enjoy it. But, yeah, this is going to be a tight turnaround for this week, seeing the Lions. So it's definitely a week that we got to just focus on getting our bodies back and studying up on the Lions again.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Cloudy and colder today. We'll get to around 45 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy, 31. Tomorrow, a little more sunshine, high of 42 on Wednesday, 44. Thanksgiving Day, partly cloudy with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this was great. I guess what?
Mike Lee, who is one of the worst senators, he's in Utah. We came close to beating him last time, not with a Democrat, but an independent. He was afraid that Mitt Romney would gang up on him, Mike Lee was, and I think Romney basically spread good word about the independent opponent, but didn't come formally out to oppose Lee. But Lee is an election denier. He's a bully. He speaks in menacing tones. Well, he picked on the wrong person when he picked on Liz Cheney. Here's what he did. First of all, he has called, for, believe it or not, for an investigation of the January 6th committee, and in particular, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. I'm not kidding. He's calling for an investigation of the committee itself that is set up by Congress with bipartisan support to investigate the January 6th riots. I remember something on January 6th, even Kevin McCarthy got up, announced it, what had happened, said that was wrong, that Trump bears responsibility. It's a great speech, but that's all it was, because not too long after that, he read the polls and he went down to Mar-a-Lago and he begged for Trump's forgiveness and he begged for Trump's endorsement. Well, Mike Lee called for an investigation of the January 6th committee, in part because Mike Johnson has released more hours of video. Believe it or not, there are 40,000 hours of video, 40,000. In other words, it's multiple cameras in a big building, 24/7. He released about 90 hours, and what he was trying to do was, we've all seen the video. We've seen the cops screaming as their heads are squeezed into a door. We have seen them hit cops with poles, punch them, beat them up, drag them down the stairs by their ankles, say, hang Mike Pence, go through looking to assassinate Mike Pence, say, oh, Nancy, to kill her if they saw her in the hallway. So what the Republicans are doing is, there's obviously some video before that happens as they're walking there, where some of them got into the Capitol and didn't see anybody in the hallways. Okay, so they walk through the hallways. And Mike Johnson, one of the premier election deniers, he was the guy, the lead guy to get 100 congressmen to sign on to a frivolous brief to overturn the election in Wisconsin, believe it or not. Believe it or not, it was brought by the Texas Attorney General. And I'm going, hey, wait a minute. The last time Texas didn't like a Wisconsin presidential election, the president's first name was Abraham. That election happened in 1860. So don't be coming here and telling me you want to overturn our election. Of course, it didn't go anywhere. But what they're now saying is, well, look at all this innocent video. What innocent video? These people were trespassing the Capitol looking for somebody to kill. They just didn't happen to see anybody in the hallway that time. Well, Mike Lee has called for an investigation of the committee, the whole committee, and in particular of Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. And he said, he posted with some of this video, he goes, how many of these rioters are feds to Liz Cheney? How many of these rioters are feds? It's the old conspiracy theory. The rioters weren't rioters. They were FBI impersonating rioters so they could pin it on Trump's supporters. Now, you've seen that 1,000 of them have been arrested. About 600 or more have been prosecuted successfully. They've gotten jail time or they've gotten convictions. They were not FBI agents. Lee is lying Mike Lee. The Republicans are lying, but the problem is they keep saying it. The bigger the lie, the more it's believed. So here is how Liz Cheney handled it. Magnificent, absolutely magnificent. He released Mike Johnson, I say 90 hours. And, Cheney said, he claimed that the video was not violent. This is Lee, Mike Lee. Liz Cheney then posted, Mike, here's some video of January 6th for you. This is the video we've all seen on television. Cops being beaten up, screaming as their heads are squashed, breaking the window to get in, all the violent stuff. Liz Cheney says, Mike, here is some video for you, i.e. some real video. And Lee says, we've seen that video, Liz. You didn't show the other stuff. How many of these guys are feds? And this is absolutely terrific. Liz Cheney goes back and she says, hey, Mike, heads up. A nutball conspiracy theorist is posting from your account. Hey, Mike, heads up. A nutball conspiracy theorist is posting from your account. Perfect. And then the clown Lee, you know, one of the things that kills me, it slays me. Next July, for a week, these clowns will be in Milwaukee. They'll be walking along Wisconsin Avenue. They'll be going to our best restaurants. They'll be going to Sanford's, Buckley's, Bavette, Loopy and Iris, so many others, Bartolotta restaurants, Bartolotta Ristorante. I'm getting hungry even thinking about it. And a lot of good smaller restaurants in Mountain Town, Zafiro's, Sala, many of the others. And what, I got to look at these people? Swagger down. I got to look at Mike Lee, who lied about the insurrection. I've got to look about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Got to look at Matt Gaetz. Got to look at Mike Johnson. God forbid, you got to look at Donald Trump. We're a democracy. They're entitled to a convention. Our hotel owners, restaurant owners, and small business and decent-sized business in Milwaukee. And, you know, you can draw a circle around Milwaukee. Some of these people are going to be put up in hotels at O'Hare Airport, believe it or not. Kenosha and Racine can do real well in this, too. So is Walworth County. Some of them will be put up in Madison. Some will be put up in Sheboygan. Zaukee County will do well. Waukesha County. Washington. Probably some of Dodge. They'll come around. And it's all good for the economy. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to be very, very hard pill to swallow watching these people. Because we know what they want. They want to get into power, and they are basically fascists. By the way, real quick, I wanted to follow up on Bill of Economwalk's testimonial of Rosalynn Carter, my own personal experience. Flesh this thing out about it. She just died at the age of 96. She just died. And she, as I say, I met her twice in my life. In 1978, she came to Wisconsin to campaign for congressional candidate. She was the first lady at the time. Chip Carter, her son, was also here with her. And then in 1980, remember that Jimmy Carter lost to Ronald Reagan, but Jimmy Carter was still president till January 20. So after Christmas, sometime in early January, they held a farewell party in the White House. And we weren't going to get the presidency back for 12 years until 1992 when Bill Clinton was elected. We didn't know that at the time. Everybody thought that Reagan would be a one-term president. Nobody conceived of the fact that George H.W. Bush could ever be elected. We were going to be out in the wilderness for a while, and it was a very bittersweet thing. But I'll always remember there was a receiving line. So all of us Democratic activists from all 50 states were invited there for this terrific Christmas party at the White House. If you've ever get a chance to go there, even as a tour or whatever, definitely do it. It's such an historic building. But she stood there all evening long, graciously shaking hands, and having a nice thing to say about everybody. And I was impressed, quite frankly, what a team they were, because Jimmy Carter was a gentleman. He was incapable of lying. He was incapable of insult, even political opponents. He was incapable of invective. He was an Annapolis grad. and he was on nuclear submarines. And that was in the early stages, the first nuclear submarines. And he studied that engineering, and he was on submarines for his tour. Went back. He was a successful farmer, peanut farmer. Ran for the state Senate, ran for governor, ran for president. And I'll never forget that race. Because here's a guy with a thick Southern accent, and Lyndon Johnson was really the only Southerner that had, true deep Southerner that had been elected since the 19th century. Jimmy Carter just came through. Everybody liked him in Wisconsin. He won the Wisconsin primary. There was a newspaper article. You remember the article, Dewey Beats Truman? 1948, Truman actually beat Dewey, Republican nominee, but one of the papers just jumped the gun thinking it was inevitable the other way. And headline was Dewey Beats Truman. Famous picture of Truman holding up the newspaper and smiling. That happened in Wisconsin in 1978. I was here. Everybody thought Mo Udall, congressman, would beat Jimmy Carter. After all, Jimmy Carter, it was Jimmy Carter, Georgia. You know, everybody had been thinking of the civil rights fights back in the 60s. This was 1976, and it was inconceivable. It was an April primary then. And the Milwaukee Sentinel, the morning paper at that time, before they merged, had a headline, Udall beats Carter. And there's a picture of Carter holding it up. And of course, he edged out Mo Udall. And I think he edged him out because a lot of the farmers over in the 3rd Congressional District, outside of Milwaukee and Madison, liked him a lot. Liked his message, liked his character. And I can't say enough good things about him and about Rosalynn. And I just want to share that with you in a little greater depth. My last memories of her in person were standing in the White House right after Christmas, but he was still president, greeting and thanking all the Democratic activists that they could invite from the 50 states. She has stood there rock solid, shaking hands and being so gracious. You know, speaking of somebody who is not so gracious or not even gracious at all, you would think that the weekend she died, or the day she died, Trump would say something nice, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd think so, wouldn't you? I mean, I would think so. But no. He went into hospice on the day that he gave a speech, making fun of Jimmy Carter, her husband, and of his presidency. And then she dies the next day, and he's as classless as ever. And it's making fun along these lines. He goes, this Trump, right as she dies, he goes, well, I'll tell you what, Jimmy Carter must be the happiest man in the world right now because Joe Biden's president. And in comparison to Joe Biden, Carter looks brilliant. That's what he said. When the man's wife just went into hospice, and then after he made those remarks, she died. You know, is there any rudimentary decency? You remember when he ran in 2016, he tried to make fun of that New York Times reporter who had a severe physical handicap and kept flopping his arms? The guy has no human decency. Well, what's coming up? A lot coming up. You thought you knew Mark Wayne Mullen? Well, you really don't until you hear what I have to say. I see the lines, by the way. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right away after a little bit of Mark Wayne Mullen.
Maybe
93.5 The Tap.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Oh, hey, Matt. Great show as always. And I really enjoy the, or found it useful, the information that you supplied about Mr. Lee from the Republican from Utah, who is basically saying that this January 6th was an inside job and that FBI agents were disguised and made their way in, and they're the ones that are promoting this. And I know as a lawyer that you might find this kind of amazing, that with 1,000 people arrested and 600 who have been successfully prosecuted, that none of those people would have said to any of the federal prosecutors, oh, by the way, I'm an undercover FBI agent. I don't think you should charge me, which would seem to me to be the logical thing to say. But at any rate, so we have this, you know, this brainiac, Mr. Lee, saying that he's got a shot of a guy who he is convinced is got a police badge and is walking through the January 6th, walking through the Capitol. Well, it turns out the guy that he's speaking to is a man named Kevin Lyons, who is holding a vape, and that's why it's shining and looking kind of like a badge. And Mr. Lyons is now serving a 4-year prison sentence for his actions in the Capitol. He stole a wallet and he took a framed picture out of John Lewis out of Speaker Pelosi's office. But the best part I thought were two more points. This is from a Rolling Stone article where Lyons told the judge, and this is a quote. He said, this is the guy who's now serving the 4 years. He says, I'm an idiot. I realized that. I was stupid. I don't know what came over me. I apologize to you, the country, and my family. So the guy has clearly said, hey, I am not a federal agent. I am responsible for what I did. And so what do we have? But Fox News, Maria Bartiromo is bringing it up on Sunday, asking McCarthy about rumors whether federal assets were involved. I mean, it just doesn't quit. I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand, yes, there was an insurrection, and people who are involved in it are now very sorry for the choices that they've made. They aren't federal agents. And Matt, wouldn't it be true if you were a federal agent and you were arrested in an operation like this, the first thing you do is they're probably a password of the day, which you recount to the arresting officers, and they release you. Or if you happen to get into the, wouldn't there be something like that, Matt? They wouldn't go all the way of jailing FBI agents if they honestly were part of this. Your thoughts on this, I'd be interested to hear. Thanks very much, Matt.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's even kind of worse than that. I mean, most police officers and FBI agents and any other kind of law enforcement, if they're even pulled over for speeding, if they're pulled over for drunk driving, they'll say that who they are, and they basically let them off. It's absurd that we even have to have this kind of segment or discussion on the radio. 1,000 people are arrested. They're tracked down. Over 600 have been convicted. Many of them, some jail time, some long amount in jail. What I can't tolerate is that the Republican Party and their media outlets will say things that not only are false, but they are so wildly, demonstrably false, not even in the ballpark. But by continuing to say it, there's a lot of people that don't get any other news. There are a lot of people, Joe, that do not know the facts that you have just recounted and that I occasionally talk about. And all they hear about is that Trump and his people said that it was FBI agents. That's all they hear. They don't know. A moment's thought would let them know, but they don't know. I know people, frankly, who never watch television news. They don't listen to the radio and they don't read newspapers. They pick it up by osmosis, by rumor, by an occasional thing online, and they're presented with an accomplished fact. So that kind of rumor, that false rumor that a Mike Lee is circulating, isn't intended to convince you or me. It isn't even intended to convince Republicans who follow the news. It's intended to convince a broad mass of people who basically have no knowledge and are not following the news at all. But what envenoms me more than anything, is that how U.S. senators can repeat that and how anchors on television like Fox can repeat it. They know it's false. Mike Lee is not a dumb guy. He knows it's false. Deliberately saying things like that. And in the Congress is even worse. By that, I mean the House. They know it's false, but the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Matt Gaetz and the Jim Jordans, Gymnasium Jim, J. William Jordan, they know it's false, and they are badly, badly injuring America by doing that, badly injuring America, because they mislead a small group of voters, but that group of voters spreads it, and it can have an impact on elections. Thanks for calling. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thank you for calling. What's your mind, Gene?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Great, great show, and I love Joe's outstanding job, because not only is she repeating it, but there's a whole bunch of people that are repeating it, and there was like a false kind of video type thing where they identified a person carrying an FBI badge, and here it was something that you vape with, you know, and they caught him. They caught her. Marjorie Taylor Greene sending that out, and then she tried to erase it, but these people that are on top of it, you know, take a look at the Midas touch. They show a lot of things that are going on that there's just not time to cover all of the bad things these people are doing. But I have to bring something up real quick, Matt, and that is that Katie Porter, she's just, man, she's outstanding representative. And they were talking about the budget, you know, and, oh, you know, how they want to get the deficit and things like that. But it's now coming out, and it was, we knew about it before, but I don't know why people are learning late, you know, about how much debt Trump caused the United States. And she had this where she bought two whiteboards, and she said, this is a deficit, you know, they were questioning, they were having a committee meeting, and she just is always like a little teacher, and she brings out a whiteboard, and there's one, comma, 800, comma, 000, and then she takes another whiteboard and puts up 000, comma, 0000, and then asks the witness, you know, how much money is this debt, you know, because they didn't, Republicans didn't, you know, plan for this, and it was like right. $2 trillion, Matt. So anyway, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gene. Terrific as always. Coming up, lots of news, lots of weather, and trouble at the California Democratic Convention.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 ADP Eau Claire, and streaming every